celebrating female role models across our community, live from McRobinson Girls High School in Melbourne, Australia. You're listening to Be Like Her Live on Macrob Live.
Welcome everyone, live from the McRobinson Girls High School in Melbourne, Australia. You're listening to Be Like Her Live on Macrob Live. My name is Alia and my co-host today is Manette. Our special guest today is Dr. Vicky Au. Hi Vicky, welcome to the show. So, what was your experience like at Macrob and how did that influence your university and career pathways?
Oh, thanks for that, Alia. So, I really loved my time here at Macrob, partly because I was so excited to get in and just coming here and being around like-minded people who were all serious about study. And it might not, study took on many forms. It could be creative, it could be in art, it could be in, you know, the sciences, which was what I did. But it was the feeling of being told you can do anything with your life and not letting anyone tell you otherwise. I think that confidence through Macrob and the participation in, you know, house activities, in the kind of other extracurricular things that you could do, the leadership opportunities that you had here, that was all part of, I think, shaping me and then kind of taking that self-confidence that you need to back yourself sometimes. You don't always feel great. But having that go through in school and that kind of nurturing type environment, I think that was the really great thing about Macrob. And the other thing is that it still has such an amazing reputation after all these years. I think it's always had an amazing reputation. But, life is not all about where did you go to school. But when people do ask, where did you go to school? And you say, oh, I went to Macrob. People go, oh, wow. And, you know, there's something which is really great about that. And you take that through life, which I think is also a really positive thing as well.
And why do you think, you mentioned self-confidence, which is really important. Why do you think that helps you establish a good career and a career pathway and it helps you move further on in life?
Yeah, thank you for that, Manat. I think it's the kind of situation where it's really great when you have people who champion for you. And certainly I think in the early parts of your career, you'll hopefully find that when you're kind of working through stages, you know, you're coming into a new organization, you're maybe part of the graduate intake, or people know that you're fresh out of university and they'll be, you know, training you and skilling you up with on-the-job learning experience. But there'll be, you know, many times where you don't get the same kind of structure, the same kind of someone every day kind of telling you, this is what you're going to do now and this is what you're going to do next. You need to back yourself when the opportunities arise to say, to put your hand up and say, I'll try that. It's going to be out of your comfort zone. They're going to be the times when you really get the chance to grow. I think it's really important to keep pushing yourself throughout life. You know, you keep having a curious mind, being open to how you can further develop. And it's those times when you feel, oh, I don't think I can do it. I'm not quite sure if I'll succeed. Maybe I won't do well. Maybe I'll fail and then everyone will see that I've done badly. But, you know, the fact is that I think that self-confidence goes a long way to going, you've got this, you can do this. And there are many people actually behind all of that that don't want you to fail. They'll be there behind you, but they won't be there, you know, necessarily as visible as you might want them to be sometimes. So having that self-confidence in your mind and giving yourself that pep talk and saying, take that chance, have a go. In my career, everything that I've done, all the opportunities that I've had, I would say that that has been the really big thing. And that's when, like, you're not just kind of going up in steps. You're just taking this, like, leap because of pushing yourself out of the comfort zone and the experiences that you get, the learning that you get. And once you make it, that then gives you further confidence to take that next leap of faith. Yeah, so that's, I think, where that kind of the early environment here in Macrob to encourage you and to tell you that you can be anything. And you just tell yourself, you keep telling yourself, you know, I'm in a new role at the moment in my organization. And sometimes I go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And you go, come on, like, you've got this, you've got this. So that's where I think it's just relevant throughout life.
Yeah, we can definitely see like your strive for growth. Like I was reading about you and all the different like degrees and bachelors that you did. And I was like, wow, you really like got it. But I was just wondering, like what sparked your interest in carbon management technologies? And how do you see them playing a crucial role in addressing environmental concerns? Because when I read like that you were director of like decarbonization, the first thing I thought of was, what is that? And I just want to know more.
Ah, sure. Thank you. So a little while ago, so I had my 30-year reunion this year. So I've been out of school a little while. And through that time, you know, it's kind of like waned and kind of I've gone really excited about something. And I'm going, oh, I'm not quite sure about this. So a little while ago, I was thinking, you know what? I need the next challenge. And I need to think about what do I want to spend my time on? You know, what is the purpose that I want to be living through my life? And the problem of the, you know, what we're seeing with climate change, what we're seeing with the energy transition that we need to have with emissions, with the what many industries need to face in terms of decarbonisation, reducing the emissions, reducing the impact, helping us all live more sustainably. That I felt was something that was worth putting my time into. So the director of decarbonisation, this was a new role created in this organisation, which has traditionally serviced many of the kind of hard to abate industries, also like there are many of the heavy emitters, they're kind of many of the fossil fuel industries. And because of their announcements of wanting to reach net zero, their commitments to decarbonise in the coming decades, this organisation, which is a kind of consulting and engineering firm, it realised that it also needed to make decarbonisation one of its strategic priorities. So it kind of brought that in along with digitalisation, because it believes that digitalisation and the management of information through that and what you can kind of transform with the data that you have will go hand in hand with enabling decarb. There was a role that came up for building this for the Asia Pacific region. And I was at CSIRO before then. I was already I had developed a program along with many amazing colleagues, because I don't have the technical expertise in there. We built a program which was to see how could we help enable clean hydrogen for Australia and understand what that meant in terms of an alternative source of energy. And so this opportunity for building out this decarbonisation service for AsiaPac for industry, because working far more closely with where projects needed to happen and looking for solutions, technology solutions, but also strategies, advising industry more directly in actions that they needed to take. So that is more about kind of understanding, well, what are the different kind of capabilities within the organisation? Who are the other people kind of externally as partners, as other consultants or other industry, and kind of working together with government and research as well? Because together I'll put this in a different way. No one organisation can solve this problem. We all need to work together. We need to think differently about how we approach solutions, because we've been developing our industry, you know, developing our economy in a certain way that has led us to this point, and now we really need to think about differently how we do things from now. So that's the role, and I'm really excited to be part of it, but yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Okay. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Be Like Her Live on Macrob Live, live from the Macrob Betsons Girls High School in Melbourne, Australia. My name is Alia and my co-host today is Manat, and our special guest today is Dr. Vicky Au. So Vicky, I was just wondering, like, as you were talking about before, like, do you believe that you had any struggle being a woman in the workforce and doing all you want and, like, you know, giving out your ideas and having it properly listened to and actively listened to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I really hope that it is changing a lot now. But I studied physics at uni, and to be honest, it was a really good mix. So, and in my final year, when I was doing honors, it was pretty much 50-50 in terms of kind of gender mix. And when I went into, I'm not going to talk about the PhD, kind of more into workforce and eventually going through consulting was pretty good, but you kind of move through promotions and you understand, you see how the relationships play out in the organization. You go through the ranks and you do feel that sometimes there is an unspoken thing where people behave differently, like especially when senior leadership for many years has been male and it's harder to kind of break through the senior ranks as a female. I guess it wasn't so pronounced in my kind of first role there, that was in consulting. Going back into CSIRO, which was research, energy, I did feel it. Often I was the only female there. We were kind of looking for representatives for a conference or for a panel. And I would say, you know, we need a few more females here. And people just didn't even notice. It wasn't anything malicious. It's just that I think this is what coming through as unconscious bias. You're so used to seeing something in a certain way that you don't even notice that the representation isn't there. And it's not just about gender, it's also about cultural representation as well. And sometimes you say things, you have an idea and you say, look, I've got this idea. And, you know, kind of people just continue talking, going, oh, okay. A few moments later, someone else gives the idea and you go, that was my idea. I just gave that idea like 5 minutes ago. And initially you might go, okay, I'll just kind of let that pass. But then you realize, you know what, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say, thank you. I'm glad that you liked my idea. That you do start saying, kind of reminding people, I actually gave that and I'm really glad that you took it on, rather than just kind of sitting back. But yeah, there's times, but I hope it's improving. But yeah, there are times and there's unconscious bias and yeah, but you know, you work through it.
Did you find that when you were facing these challenges, were you facing them alone or did you have a support system, whether that be in your workplace or that be in your personal life?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, obviously we are talking about, you know, how do we help maybe kind of groups of kind of diverse groups who may not get the same voice and representation and the advantages that other groups have historically had. And I would say that at many points in my life, I've had amazing mentors and champions, not always very visible, but behind the scenes. And having, you know, they'll kind of come up to you and say, look, just letting you know you're doing well. I think that makes a really big difference. And I would also say, again, I hope this is changing, but many of the best people that I've had in my life who've believed in me and seen a potential that I couldn't at the time, they have been male. So I think having male champions is just as important as having female champions when we're talking about representation. And when we're talking about trying to give other people a voice and giving them the encouragement, because it needs to happen across the board. We can't exclude any group and say, look, we're going to form a group here and we're going to try and help support. Like, you need to bring other people on as well. And it's also the reason why I love volunteering, being as a mentor now, because I know what a big difference it made to me when I needed that pep talk. I needed that confidence boost when my own little self-confidence was not amazing. Having that person there has made all the difference to get you back on track and get you kind of focused. Okay, yeah, we're back onto this. Just kind of put that behind you, keep working. So, yeah, definitely people in my life have been really great in that way.
Thank you so much for that, Vicky. Like, I understand that as well, because still it's kind of like that as well in my own workplace where I just work my part-time job. I still feel those things. So what qualities or traits do you possess that you believe allowed you to like walk into your career path and succeed in it as well?
I would say that, and this word is used a lot, but I'll try and explain it. Resilience, you know, getting back on your feet, not letting a setback mean that it's the end of everything, that you give up entirely. I think that persistence and just being a bit stubborn and saying, you know what, didn't work the first time, that's fine. I'm going to get back. I'm going to put it aside. I'm going to try again. I think that is probably one of the biggest things, because just life will throw up so much at you. Not just life, like other people in your organization who are out to get you. It's not that bad. But, you know, there are many things that don't go your way. And being resilient and understanding, okay, that was not the plan, but you know what? We're going to work with this. We're going to see it through, or kind of being able to change. Kind of, so I'd say resilience and also agility, being able to change and adapt to the situation, still make it work, getting back on your feet. I think these are probably the things that I would say get you through a lot of things.
This is moving a bit back. When you said that you found your sense of purpose in the industry of like sustainability.
Mm, yeah.
I know many Macrob kids, when thinking of choosing a career, they're not too sure what they want to do. So what advice would you give to like young people in finding their sense of purpose?
Yeah. So I mentioned mentoring, and this is for women of, you know, at all stages of their career. It keeps popping up. So you'll find purpose, you'll do something and you'll realize, you know what, I need another purpose. I've done that. So it just keeps coming up. What I would say is, you know, do think about what drives passion in you. What are the things that as soon as you start talking about it to someone, describing it to someone, you just light up. And then accept that it might not be that forever. Pursue your passion, pursue your interests for that time. Think about the impact that it has on other people. Think about the positive impact, what you can do, what you can take from it, what you can learn from it in your you just kind of pack it away in your little toolkit. And then when it comes time and you're saying, well, you know, I'm actually not loving this much anymore, or I'm feeling I need more development, I'm feeling I need another challenge, then, you know, just review it again. You know, what are the things that really kind of light a fire within you? And now I'll say that also, it is a luxury. It is a luxury to be able to pursue what you love. And sometimes you don't get it through every part of your life. Sometimes your work is a little bit humdrum, but you get to volunteer in something, which is amazing. And that is what keeps the fire alive. You have many other kind of commitments to things and you can't love every single thing. But I do think it is important to think about passion, think about the positive impact that what you do will have on others around you, and kind of use those as guiding principles. But, yeah, many other ways to kind of think about purpose and kind of exercises around it. And you can think about it as bucket list, you know, look back on your life and you think, you know, what would I wish I'd done? What do I want to remember myself for? And you can use that as ways to maybe like filter out things. But yeah, definitely think about it as, you know, life is a journey. It's a stepping stone. If you don't feel the same way forever, it's not a bad thing. Accept it and kind of like welcome the next opportunity.
Thank you, Vicky. I love the way you like embrace change and growth. It's so nice. Well, in a previous interview you had with Monash University, you mentioned that you made it an objective to learn the language of your heritage. Currently, I believe the Macrob community is very diverse. But when you were here, did you find that this community helped shape your cultural identity?
So I will expand on that term cultural identity. Before Macrob, I think many girls will have been, you know, lived most of their lives in a suburb, gone through a school and gone through primary school, then, you know, the first few years of high school with people that they know, and you're very familiar with that part of the world. You know, some people will have the opportunity to kind of lived in different places around Australia, around the world through, you know, parents who've worked, you know, in different jobs. But I think for the most part, certainly when I was here, when we came to Macrob, we all kind of descended and we were from all these different suburbs and we'd never heard of them before. I go, what? Where's that? Like, how long do you have to get on the train for? Oh my gosh. And, you know, so that kind of cultural diversity, I would say, is even just in the diversity of where people come from around around Melbourne and sometimes kind of like Victoria as well. And being even open-minded at that stage, because, you know, now some people can judge, you know, where you're from, you know, which part of the city you are, you know, where you grew up. But the great thing about Macrob, like, you all come here and you're all here now, you know, you all did what you need to do to get here. And there is that cultural diversity in terms of ethnicity, but there is also that cultural diversity into where you came from, what your upbringing was, what your family was like, what your values were like, what your interests are. And, you know, it's different from what you had before. And I think that kind of that acceptance that you have coming here and being friends with people that you've, you know, have very different interests, very different kind of, you know, family practices, you know, different neighborhood, all of that sort of thing. I think that really kind of sets you up for being open-minded about many other things. And then if you do get the chance to travel and, you know, open your eyes to different cultures and kind of being more accepting of things, because, you know, there are a lot of things that we have biases of, we have perceptions of before we actually get there and experience it. I think that's all part of it. And I would say that's probably a big thing about learning my language. I had an impression of what China was like growing up here. I have experienced situations where people say, where are you from? And I say, I'm from Melbourne. I say, no, where are you really from? Okay. Yeah, well, my parents are from. And so I thought going to China and working there, I might find something to resonate with me because of that experience that I've had here. But I went there and I realized how different my values were. Like, there are many things I really loved about it, but I did see that there was a cultural difference because of the way that I'd kind of grown up in Australia and what I was used to. And kind of understanding that and thinking, you know what, I am Australian and I'm embracing that. And coming back, and I actually, it's the first time that I would get emotional on Anzac Day, kind of hearing the Australian national anthem and kind of being around and kind of missing things from Australia. You know, that's when you kind of realize, you know, who you are and your identity. And it's more than how you look. It's more than your surname. It's more than how you sound, you know, accents that we have from kind of growing up in other places. And I think that's also the whole thing about going through life and what you get exposed to here at Macrob, because of that, everyone kind of descending here to this amazing place in South Melbourne. You grow through that, you take that through the rest of your life, and you, you know, you keep finding out more about yourself. You keep discovering, which I believe is also the motto of the school, potentially, you know, finding out the potential of yourself. And it's a continual journey, but it sets you up well here, I believe.
I think you mentioned that you've worked in like different places, like Australia, China. How has that changed your perspective in your professional, like in your career, or even in your like personal life?
Yeah. Thank you very much for that question. It's a funny thing, because I was actually just mentoring a girl recently who said, she came from a kind of more technical background. She said, and I'm trying to get back into a technical field. I've been in sales and I feel that it's very hard for me to kind of find those opportunities. And I said, cool, you know, tell me a little bit about where you've been. She said, oh, I've worked in Canada, I've worked in Germany, I've worked in India, but, you know, they're all technical, and now I've been put in a sales role. And I was saying, that's amazing, you know, that has such an amazing kind of variety of experience that I see as valuable rather than seeing as something that hinders you. So I think it's something where you can either go, okay, I've been in many places and I haven't had enough time in any of those places. Or you could say, I've been in many places and I've taken something from each of those experiences. So it's just a different way that you couch what the story is. For me personally, it really opened my eyes. Like every city that I've worked in, every city that I've been in, the teams are different, the culture is different, like kind of workplace culture, the culture of the city is different. And I feel it just opens your eyes to be more accepting, and you see the world through different lenses. You see the world through different perspectives. And if you can adapt that with seeing the problem that you have in front of you, it makes it far more powerful with thinking of solutions for it. So for me, I love problems. I love trying to solve them. I guess probably like fundamentally that's the scientist in me. But I think it is so important. And also coming back to what you were saying about, you know, all the different degrees and studies that I've done, that the whole part of that is to see it from different lens, see it from a commercial lens, see it from a technical lens, see it from a business lens, seeing it from, you know, east side, east coast, west coast of the country. You know, there are different industries, there's different cultures from there, from overseas. It really just kind of adds to how all of those things, considering all of that, to see how do we come up with the best solution for something. And I think if there are more people that open their minds to how someone else thinks about the same problem and how it affects them, we can come up with better solutions. And kind of coming back to the really big hairy problems in the world, that's something that I think is really important now, that you think about things not just for your own benefit, but you think about the impact on many other kind of groups as well, so that you come up with the best solution. Because otherwise, if you kind of exclude one, then your solution is probably going to end up causing problems later down the track. Yeah.
When I came to Macrob, I had this like overwhelming feeling that I was never good enough, because I was just surrounded by these people who are so talented and so amazing. And it really led to me feeling like I didn't belong, like basically imposter syndrome. So how do you believe like you overcame those challenges, like switching degrees and all that?
Yeah, thank you. And it's so true what you say. You know, on the one hand, it's really great that we have an educational institution which really supports bright people. You know, you are academically gifted. You've probably been the best in your school prior to coming here, and you come here and like it's only everyone is good. And so that the good thing is that you're around like-minded people who all are serious about it and who are all good. The potential downside is that you then get scared about not doing as well and, you know, failing, about what happens when you get that first bad mark, what happens when you, fail something for the first time. And that is a real risk. It is something that there has been a lot of literature and research on. Harvard Business School has published a lot around this for organizations and what it means when you have organizations that don't allow their employees to feel safe to fail in a controlled environment. So we're not saying taking just like, you know, really rash decisions that are going to have, you know, catastrophic consequences. But the fact is that many times when you are talking about taking risks, about the possibility of failure, it is not going to go to that. And there is a lot of literature around saying that the best performing organizations are the ones that allow their employees to have a safe space for taking risks, for failing, for learning from that, and as a consequence, innovating. And there's then a lot to say about when companies are innovative, when they have an innovative culture, when they allow their companies, their employees to do that. the growth that they have, you know, the performance that they have, everything that a company is measured on for success, that all comes through. So I think it's really important to keep in mind that through Macrol, because during this time, of course, you know, the academic mark is going to be really important, because you think, well, that's going to set me up for everything else in life. But still keeping in mind the idea of when it comes to certain things and taking a chance and taking a leap of faith, and the possibility of failure, it is the learning of those failures that really make the big difference. And if you hear from any of the great innovators around, you know, any of the big names that have made amazing companies, built amazing technologies, they will tell you about all the times that they have failed before they were successful. But you don't hear about that. You hear about how they've you know, built this amazing company. You hear about the next big innovation that they've done. You don't hear so much about that. Or when you hear about it, you know, the press can sometimes go, oh, you know, this was a massive failure. It blew up. It didn't perform the way that they thought it was. But you know what? That, if you do that in a managed way, and you actually just learn from it and say, you know what, that's okay. I now know what doesn't work. So I'm going to do the next one better. I'm learning from that. I think that is a really important point. And I think the thing with kind of managed risks that I often say to myself is, what's the worst thing that can happen here? What is the worst case scenario? And if I can accept that, and I think, you know, that's not so bad, I can handle that, then you can then kind of move forward with confidence, saying like, it's okay, I've thought about that, and I'll handle that. But for the chance of doing something far more amazing, I'm going to also take the chance that it's not going to work, and I've accepted it, and you go for it. And you'll find most of the time, you know, you might not hit this amazing mark, but you're not going to be down here, and you still make this jump in development, in sometimes innovating yourself, than you would have if you hadn't taken the chance at all. So I think that's probably that bit that I would say about, you know, taking chances and kind of managing the whole theory about fear of failure.
Thank you so much. That's all we have time for today, unfortunately. Thank you to our guest, Dr. Vicky. It's been a great pleasure talking to you today. Live from the Macrobetsons Girls High School in Melbourne, Australia, you have been listening to Be Like Her Live on Macrob Live. My name is Alia, and my co-host today was Minette. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you have found the information today useful. Until next time, have a great day. Celebrating female role models across our community, live from the MacRobertson Girls High School in Melbourne, Australia, you're listening to Be Like Her Live on MacRob Live.